Hi, I'm Gary Busey.
It's time to relax. You know what that means. Glass of wine, your favorite easy chair. So go on and indulge yourself. That's right. Kick off your shoes. Put your feet up. Lean back and just enjoy the melodies.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to the newest episode of Twig. I am your host, I was going to say Game Master earlier on, Mike the Birdman Daw, but I'm not alone as we trek through this week of stupidity, as we most often do. I am joined on my left with
Mr. Christopher.
And of course, across the room, sitting in, well, the captain's chair of this room.
Indeed, I am plague free. I have been de-quarantined.
And, of course, the man with, well, I was going to say the most epic beard in the room, but you've got this kind of Letterkenny vibe going on right now with the flannel.
I still have the most epic beard in the room, and I'm Emperor Wayne.
Squirrely Dan is our love child.
It's true. If you've ever seen the show Letterkenny, Alex and Lee had a baby together, and it looks like Squirrely Dan.
And if we had a baby together, it would be, we would have, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been.
It would have been intense. It'd be awesome, but we're not, no.
I'm glad we're starting this one on a high note.
We're not doing that. Well, not right now. I mean, we'll see how much liquor it takes. Where are we going with this again?
What? I think you guys would make a rather cute couple. I'm just saying.
We would, but no.
As long as I'm the woman.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty much what I would prefer, too. So, yeah.
I'm learning.
We are progressive on this show, if we're anything.
I'm learning today.
It's a wet hole. Wait, what?
Oh, boy.
What?
I'm so glad you all tuned in this week because, hey, we got
don't
a lot of
stuff to us.
For any of our younger viewers, or
actually, speaking of that, I want to talk about our younger viewers. Uh-oh. We actually got a friend of ours has her 13-year-old daughter listens to the show, so I don't know how appropriate we are typically.
Not very.
But evidently, she has a crush on Mr. Christopher. She's like,
well, he has a very soothing voice.
Really?
I do have a soothing voice, so I suppose, but that's okay. Just.
You are late night talk radio, whereas I'm that morning zoo, annoying, obnoxious news, weather, and sports. You're like,
I put people to sleep on a morning show.
What does that
exactly
make
you're like, good morning, it's 3 a.m. You're listening to Elton John.
What about
smooth
Lee
jazz
and me?
I don't know. How would we describe Lee and Alex's voice? You guys are more like mid-afternoon
the
drive.
The reason satellite radio exists, maybe?
I don't have a radio voice. I just talk.
But your voice is also remarkably soothing as well.
Oh, thank you.
He's gonna cry.
We go. Actually, just while, because you know what, we're not fucking up this take. Turn Lee up just a touch there, because we are running things with a live board here on the show. We've actually just spent 10 minutes trying to get things right, trying to figure things out, and that's the miracle of podcasting. You wouldn't actually know how many takes we've actually taken. But without any further ado, I'm going to tell you what is coming up on this week's show. We have a lot of cool stuff. We actually have an interview with a local psychic slash channeler. Her name is Angela Donnelly. She actually joined me in studio this past week to talk about the world of the unknown. Actually gave me a live tarot card reading, which was surprisingly insightful considering my recent situation. We also have a review of the first 5 episodes of Jessica Jones Season 2, which will be dropping on Netflix later on this week. And of course, we have your weird news, where I talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What are we? What else do we got coming up? We also have
I'm going to talk about Owen Wilson.
Of course.
And people using him for positivity.
Which is good stuff. What do you got, Alex?
Big Macs. And lots of them.
And Lee?
Cooked dicks.
Oh.
From severed heads to cooked dicks, this show just keeps getting progressively stranger and stranger. But also, we have a visit into Satan's pantry this week, where we decide to eat what we found on the bottom of the sea floor. I don't know why. Alex fortunately wasn't here for this one. It was like eating out a mermaid.
What did you have? What did you have?
Seaweed.
Oh, I like those things, but I'm a weird fuck like that. So.
Oh my god, it was. You'll just have to listen to
it. It wasn't great.
But before we go any further, I'm going to throw things over to myself as we take a look at what happened with Jessica Jones Season 2, which you can find exclusively on Netflix. We'll be back right after this, guys, right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
You know what your problem is?
Sentences that start like that.
Marvel and Netflix continue their very successful partnership with Jessica Jones Season 2, available exclusively on Netflix. Now, media was provided with the first 5 episodes of the 13-episode season, and I was fortunate enough to take a look at the first 5 apps. Now, I'm going to do my very best to avoid spoiler territory here, and I should preface this. I have not yet seen The Punisher, so I don't know how Jessica Jones and The Punisher connect, if there are indeed any connections so far. So, know that going in. So, Jessica Jones Season 2 picks up an indeterminate amount of time after the events of The Defenders, and we see Jessica Jones investigating her own past, sort of trying to figure out where she fits into the greater Netflix MCU as she begins tracking a killer who's going after people with abilities much like herself. And there was actually kind of a neat callback to the early days of Marvel Comics with a character who, well, all I'm going to say is Mongoose. And if you know who I'm talking about, I think that's a really kind of neat callback to Marvel's super early days as a publisher. Now, the problem I have with Jessica Jones Season 2, or at least the first 5 episodes I've been provided with, is it's not as strong a narrative as Jessica Jones Season 1, who had this fantastic villain in David Tennant, who played the manipulative Kilgrave, aka Purple Man. The first 5 episodes of Jessica Jones, the problem is the stakes don't feel as huge despite the fact that they really should. There is no huge villain, or at least if there is, I don't know them from the comics. I'm not a Jessica Jones connoisseur, if you will. That's not to say I didn't enjoy myself, as at the end of the first 5 episodes, there's a fantastic cliffhanger, and I want to know what happens next. And obviously, I have to wait until March 8th, when the rest of the episodes drop, to find out what happens. But you do get some fantastic performances by the actors and actresses who play characters such as Trish and Malcolm. Malcolm being one of my favorite characters, who's really stepping up this year and really got a chance to appreciate some of his work on Power Rangers RPM from a number of years ago. And you can see how his character has developed as Jessica Jones is sort of second in command, so to speak, which I think is a really neat progression for that character. Also, we do see a reappearance of Jerry Hogarth, but say Carrie Ann Moss, who plays Jerry Hogarth, who's the attorney who basically helps out the characters in the MCU. If there was any problem I would say I'm having with Jessica Jones Season 2 is it juggles a bunch of plot lines. Some of them feel more important than others, and I realize it's only the first 5 episodes of the series so far, so you don't know where things are exactly going to go. I kind of wonder if certain characters are going to begin to exit the MCU as things begin to move forward, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens on March 8th when things finally begin to shake out there. Overall, you might be asking yourself, is Jessica Jones Season 2 worth following? I'm going to say yes, because with Jessica Jones Season 1, there was a huge overarching narrative which paid off in huge dividends because you had Kilgrave as that fantastic villain. Are you going to get the same result with Jessica Jones Season 2? I'm not 100% sure just yet. Although, after the first 5 episodes, especially seeing how it plays out with that cliffhanger, well, I'm cautiously optimistic, and I really hope Kristen Ritter continues to portray this character as deeply as she did in the first season, because you really got to see a side of her, at least of her dramatic side. I don't think you've seen anywhere else in her performances, or at least in the ones that I'm super familiar with. So check out Jessica Jones Season 2, available on Netflix on March 8th.
God, you're weird.
News on the march!
Thank you, Mike. Jessica Jones Season 2 is available on Netflix.
Yep, coming on March 8th. So I guess I'll be binge-watching the rest of the season because I, once again, want to know what the hell happens. And I really should watch The Punisher at some point.
It's good.
But
there's a lot of backstory there to make sure. So a lot of content to absorb, but that's kind of the beauty of
it. It's the most gruesome show outside of HBO I've ever seen.
I'm so looking forward to it. It's ridiculous. All right, so without any further ado, let's talk about what happened in the news this week. Starting on my left, let's go with Tristan.
Well, today I'm going to start off on a bit of a heavy note. Some serious stuff happened last week, just after we finished recording our show from last week. Kevin Smith had a massive heart attack. Thankfully, he survived, and his eyes have been opened by the event. He is now, I believe, vegan, going vegan for a little while. I believe he was considering it beforehand, kind of on the fence, but this has kind of pushed him over to that side. But he feels like he's on borrowed time now. He had a lot of tragedy. His father, I believe, died young as well.
Yeah, his father died of a massive heart attack and actually had the same amputation as I did. Lost his left leg, I think, too. So Kevin's family is not without medical issue.
No, and he's just 47 years old, and he suffered a Widowmaker heart attack. So that's a pretty severe...
That is the age that if you do have heart issues in a man, it starts to come out in late 40s, early 50s. And if you make it into your 60s, generally, you're fine. But with him, he stopped smoking and he smoked marijuana and he talks about things he did. What he's not taking into account is this is something that was going to happen to him based on his family history and 20 plus years of smoking.
Yeah, because Kevin Smith said it doesn't matter whether you do all the healthy things or not. If it's in your family, if it's in your genetics, it's going to happen.
It's there. It's when are you going to trigger it? And the amount of plaque buildup that he would have had for this kind of blockage. My mom had a heart attack of, 13 years ago? And she was 48. And she was the healthiest person in the family, ate the best, was in shape, had a physical job. But she smoked a pack of cigarettes a day. Which is not a lot compared to a lot of other people out there, mm-hmm. but that was what her cholesterol was skyrocketing, way higher than anybody else. After she had her heart attack, she quit cold turkey because she was in the hospital for like a week and a half. And by the time she got out, she wasn't smoking anymore. And when she went back for like a 6-month checkup, her cholesterol went back to normal. Okay. It's literally just from the tobacco. Now, Kevin Smith stopped smoking cigarettes and went to weed, but there's still the carcinogens in the fact that you're putting things in your lungs. So for him, he's probably not going to give up marijuana, but what he needs to do is stop smoking and just go to edibles. If that's what he wants to do to medicate and have fun and all that, if he goes to edibles, he won't be putting anything into his lungs. And if he wants to stick with this vegan diet, that's fine. But his diet had already been fairly fixed. He had lost, close to 100 pounds anyway.
Yeah, because he'd lost 80 or 90 pounds.
He cut out a lot of sugar. Cut out a lot of sugars, and I imagine he was eating fairly decent meats. Like, this guy's not hurting for money. He's not getting the crap. So it's clearly, the big factor here was the cigarettes and the family history.
Yeah, it's one of those things where obviously lifestyle plays a very large part into it, and I wouldn't consider Kevin Smith stupid, but as Tristan said, he now thinks he's living on borrowed time, because a heart attack, that's a life changer. I mean, obviously you start thinking about where you want to go, what you want to accomplish. He even said, if I'm living on borrowed time, I better get this Jay and Silent Bob reboot off the ground and actually make it happen.
He's been, I listened to his podcast. To be honest, his movies have been absolute shit for the last 10 years.
I think Clerks 2 was his last good one.
It really was. I mean, and he can do what he wants.
Red State was okay. But
The movies he makes now are all based on things he's come up with in his podcast, which is fine and dandy. But for the quality that they are when they come out, it's kind of surprising that it seems like he dawdles between projects. So maybe this is going to kick him into gear and kick him back into writing shape. Because that's where he always excelled, was in the writing aspect of it anyway.
I feel that because of this situation, it has actually given a lot of people pause to look back and examine their choices.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I heard about it, I looked at myself. You know, I'm for someone who's as tall as I am and as active as I am, I still weigh about 320 pounds. I eat terribly. I don't smoke, and I don't partake in alcohol very often. But at the same time, I am a snack food junkie. I drink maybe a liter of pop a day.
Jesus Christ, how are you not diabetic?
How am I not diabetic? I don't know. I've never actually got the testing done. But I don't really have any adverse health problems right now. But I just try to keep as active as I possibly can. I have a very active job.
Might be worth just when you go get a physical, just get a whole blood thing done. It takes like a minute.
No, it's scary, really good idea. It is scary though. That's the reason. Like, I feel sometimes that I live on borrowed time. Like, I'm not even 30 yet, and I know that I'm not a healthy person.
Well, you're the baby of the group?
And yeah, I know I'm the baby of the group, yeah.
I thought I was the baby of the group.
It's important to analyze all the risk factors that you have. If you have a predisposition to heart disease and cancer and diabetes and any other health issues, that puts you at a greater risk. So you need to manage the other aspects of your life a little better to compensate for that. Eating better, making sure you're not taking part in bad habits. But bad habits happen.
Yeah.
Everyone in this room is bigger.
I'm a victim of this, too. And honestly, I could have died last year with my amputation because the doctor says it doesn't take much. And no. I was eating okay. I was losing weight. But all it took was just several stupid decisions in a row.
Yeah, your risk factors are already high enough and just the wrong things happen.
Yeah, it was the wrong combination.
It's a lot easier to make a misstep when you're putting yourself at risk with bad decisions regularly. Unfortunately, it's almost normal for people nowadays to make those decisions.
So, I guess to round up the story, guys, if you do have health concerns, please take care of them. From someone who suffered a recent loss of a limb, don't fuck around, simply put. And obviously Kevin Smith wants everybody to be well, himself included, so do what you can to make yourself healthier and better, and hopefully that will be the way your life goes.
At the bare minimum, just ask, you know, if it's been a while since you've been to your doctor, go get a normal checkup.
Yeah, couldn't hurt. So Alex, what do you got for us this week?
Lighten the mood for us.
Well, yes,
lighten the mood. Oh, I guess I don't know if it's lightening the mood. It looks like PlayStation, PS3, and Vita might officially be dead next year this time.
I can't say I'm surprised. I'm surprised they've supported the PlayStation 3 platform for as long as they have. And the Vita support, it's being kept alive by third-party publishers.
Yeah,
alone.
It's basically NIS America and Atlas putting out RPGs. That's about it.
Specifically, though, what's causing this to look like the end?
Is that they're going to be shutting down the free game service for PlayStation Plus on those platforms, so they won't be offering. Every month, you get basically one or two games for each platform for free. And as of March of next year, I thought it was going to be this year when they announced it, but they're giving it a year. They're going to be shutting it down. So they're going to say, basically, they're not shutting down the online service as a whole yet. They haven't announced that. They're just saying no free games. But that basically, to me, spells the end. It means that they're shutting down any first-party support.
I really hope they close out the next year on a really strong note. Like, hey, here's all the God of Wars. Here's Infamous Second Son. I want to see their first-party titles get knocked out of the park.
I think it'll probably go out with a bang in the last one. They're saying that, of course, if you've received them and you've downloaded them previously, you'll get them forever. Mm-hmm. Or until they decide just to not have the service available.
Yeah, just pull it
out. Because don't forget, that generation of game consoles was the first generation that had persistent online services, so we don't know how long they're going to keep it up.
Yeah.
I feel that this has been a long time coming. The PlayStation 3 has been out for 12 years, which is an insane amount of time if you think about it in gaming.
Yep.
And there's still some companies that release physical copies of PlayStation 3 games. Now, these are usually maybe dumbed down versions of the games, like EA Sports still releases, they released FIFA and Madden. NBA 18 also came out as a limited release for the PS3, and usually the Just Dance games from Ubisoft will be on there as well.
So it really just feels like the low effort. I don't want to say like there's no effort being put into them, but the things you don't have to build from the ground up. They're things that you can just iterate on.
There's no new IPs and there's no old IPs that are really being re-released for the system that aren't just kind of carbon copies of themselves previous years. This month's free games for PlayStation 3 aren't bad. Mighty No. 9, which is a really good sort of knockoff Mega Man.
Watch what you say when you say really good.
Saying, yeah, that game reviewed.
That's rather
terribly
suggestive.
No, I'm sorry.
It's really good for a free game.
Yeah.
It's good for a free game. But, you know, that's 1 month out of now 11 that we have left of getting free games for the PS3, whereas this month's free games for PS4 are Mighty No. 9, Claire, Ratchet & Clank, and Bloodborne, which are a lot of really good first-party Sony exclusives that we could see, you know, more sequels for in the future.
You think they did that? You know, like, well, we're going to put out some really good games this month while we silently announce that we're getting rid of service?
To soften the blow, potentially. I think Sony put their best foot forward with making this announcement. They made it on all social media platforms. They sent out an email blast for it. Big companies got, you know, they were told about it so that they could let customers know. So I think that they really are putting their best foot forward. They want to make people aware that the future is PS4. The future is, you know, bright for their current console, and they just want to see more people, I guess, flock over to the new one. It's PlayStation 4 is celebrating its 5th year soon, so.
Like, I have to wonder how many people still use PS3 over PS4.
I still have to play Ni No Kuni 1 on there before the new game comes out, and that's, it's become my system of, like, for the longest time it was at my mom's as her media center.
Yeah, my PlayStation 3, it's not hooked up right now, but I've got so many good digital games on there, like my Marvel vs. Capcom 2. It's got all my fighting games on it.
Like, it'd be nice if they then announced that all those games you have in your library, you could play
PS4
through the Now
that would be a major win to me.
It would be a major win, but I think from a technological standpoint, it would be difficult to get all those games over and working and portable.
Well, not if they do the streaming thing. If it's just through PlayStation
Now. Oh, if it's through PlayStation Now, absolutely. But
like, if they just said, those games are yours on PlayStation Now.
Right. I don't know. I think this is a good foot forward for the future of gaming. It's kind of better than what we're seeing from, as I mentioned last week, Microsoft starting the sort of kill
the big box retailers.
Kill the big box retailer games with their
They've done some sort of devious things too, like going on the seeing on the shelves in stores. It'll be in a Xbox
case, but here's a download code.
No, Xbox One case, Xbox 360 game inside of it.
What happened with that?
The games that are forwards compatible or backwards compatible.
Oh,
you can see them at Walmart. They'll be in a case, and it says Xbox One compatible, and then it's in an actual Xbox One case. But you look, but the case, box, and everything, it's a 360 game.
I have to go take a look at that. I have actually never seen that at any store, but I'd be interested
to
see that.
They have them on the shelves, those bins they have for like $20.
The only game that I've seen do that was Red Dead Redemption. They had one that said Xbox Xbox One, Xbox 360,
yeah,
like
that's what it
side
says.
By side. But I've never actually seen any other title do that, but I'd be interested in seeing it with my own eyes.
All right, so what do you got happening in the world, Lee?
More in the gaming world. It's more of a rumor, per se, but it could be substantiated very soon. With the lackluster performance of Star Wars Battlefront 2, not making sales goals and not making critical goals when it comes to reviews and just the big customer backlash, Lucasfilm is reportedly talking with other companies, major companies like Activision and Ubisoft, about potential Star Wars projects. There is a lot of want from the player fan base, and kind of just what we've seen in the past. They want to see a single player story.
So like a Knights of the Old Republic?
Knights of the Old Republic or
Star Wars Bounty Hunter.
Star Wars Bounty Hunter, Shadows of the Empire.
What was that really good one on the, was it on the PC where you were a trooper when the
Republic Commando.
That's it.
That I would love a sequel.
That was the first person
shooter. And there was a proposed sequel, but it got scrapped.
So, I mean, those games were cemented in Star Wars
lore.
Expanded universe lore. Everyone loved them. Everyone loved Knights of the Old Republic. I was a huge Shadows of the Empire player when it was out for the N64. Mm-hmm. Even our remake of that story would go over so well with the engine physics that we have now. Can you imagine that shitty swoop level? Now?
There's a lot of levels that were nauseating purely because of technological limitations.
Right, dude, like the asteroid field.
Episode.
The Skyhook Pod Racer.
Oh, yeah, seriously, a pod racer? Yeah.
A pod racer would go over, I think, really well right now. Just
put that on the Switch. Give it to me now.
Yeah. Mario Kart competitor.
Yeah.
It would really give it a run for its money, but I think that this is kind of the right way to go with the Star Wars license. EA dropped the ball.
Yeah, they mired themselves in controversy with their loot boxes. They made a lackluster single-player campaign that didn't even make any sense. The AI was terrible. There was really no sense of satisfaction for the people that were playing it. No sense of pride and accomplishment. Yeah.
Sucks, because the Battlefront 2 story is neat.
Now the question is, would they... The only thing that's been successful for them has been the Old Republic. would they keep that service running, or would they take it away from BioWare?
I don't think they would take it away from BioWare. I think the Old Republic itself has been a success. Yeah. At the very beginning, I think there was a lot of worry that it wasn't going to be a success. Mm-hmm. But when they started fleshing out a lot of the physics and the features of the game, people wanted to stay around and play, which is good for an MMO. And one of the quality of the Old Republic, it's not a bad looking game. The physics are really good. It's on par with a lot of the really popular MMOs. So I think that it would stay.
So, actually, we were kind of running out of here a little bit of time, so we're actually going to switch things and throw things over to myself, and we actually have an interview with Angela Donnelly, who is a local psychic here to the Guelph area, and a person who also reads tarot cards, so we definitely want to hear your thoughts on this, so take a listen as I delve into the world of the psychic, as Dr. Peter Venkman might say, and we'll be back right after this very special interview with Angela Donnelly.
Yes, it's true. This man has no penis.
Do you believe in UFOs, astral projections, mental telepathy, ESP, clairvoyance, spirit photography, telekinetic movement, full trance mediums, the Loch Ness Monster, and the theory of Atlantis?
Hey guys, welcome back to Twig. It is I, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and of course, normally you'd be hearing Tristan here, guys. He's been doing interviews for GenreCon over the last couple of weeks, but now I'm having a chance to take the interview seat, as I most often do here on the main show, and I actually have someone in studio with me today. I actually am speaking with Angela Donnelly, and she's a psychic channeler from the Guelph area, and we're going to talk about the world of the psychic. Now, I myself, as you guys know from the Nerd News Network, I'm a believer. I see all sorts of weird things. I've got more ghost stories than I can count. But of course, I have to approach this from a journalistic approach and channel Alex the Skeptic, if you will. So today, we're going to just talk about psychics, the experiences they have, and we're also going to do a live tarot card reading, which I think will be tremendously cool as we talk with Angela about her experiences being a psychic channeler and just all the experiences of, well, the world that we don't necessarily see and don't necessarily understand, because there have been a number of notable frauds in the media over the last couple of years, and I guess we'll just kind of see where the next 15 to 20 minutes take us. So without any further ado, let's welcome Angela to the show.
Hi, thanks, Mike, for having me.
I gotta say, it is exciting to have you on the show, because I found you via a local Facebook group. And someone had just recommended you, saying, oh, this girl Angela, she's really good. And I was looking for a story, and I know psychics say often things just speak to them. And I gotta say, I had a good gut feeling about
you.
Nice.
Thank you.
So I guess, as a psychic, you're just supposed to know things. And what was your first impression of having this mysterious stranger contact you over the internet?
Honestly, there's been a lot of energy the last little while. And so I initially was like, I don't know. I will say that. I wanted to take a couple of minutes. I wanted to listen to your webcast and get a vibe from you and your team. And it did feel good. And part of it is you have to understand we're people too. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes putting ourselves out here is not an easy thing as well. So it was one of those things where I was like, well, let me think about it, as you know. And I just wanted to do my own little bit of research of, is this a right fit for me? The thing with being a psychic is I am not right for everybody. I am not meant to read everybody. And just as well as some people aren't meant to come for readings with me, maybe they get, we all vibe in a different level. And so the best way to get the psychic that's right for you is to see, how does that person feel for me? Mm-hmm. Just like you did. You might get a recommendation, but then see, how does this feel for me?
Mm-hmm. So when you kind of first discovered your, I'll call it, an ability, because everyone's talking about it with the Marvel MCU and it just sounds cool. How did this first manifest with you?
So first I have to say, I firmly believe everybody is psychic or intuitive to some level. That's how we know whether we're going to fight or flight, right? You have to make some gut instinct, which way am I going to go? Mm-hmm. But for me, I would say it kind of happened in an interesting way. So about 10 years ago, I said I was existing, not living. and I had done some work on myself, and one of the things that I needed to do was to find and get out there and talk to people. So one of the things that I decided to do is I loved getting my tarot cards read. Mm-hmm. Loved it. And so I thought, oh, I'll learn it for myself. You have to understand, me of 10 years ago was very shy. Would never think for a million years that I would be on your podcast or put myself out here like I am. Mm-hmm. And so I started learning the tarot, and it just seemed to be one thing after another after another. Now, that happened, I had to look up the numbers, because timelines for me seem very hard. And I took those courses in 2009, 2010, so 7, 8 years ago, well, I guess 8, 9 years ago, I took those courses, and it just kind of developed, where it seemed to be like I was relearning the cards, not learning it. Mm-hmm. I hate studying, like trying to memorize things, yet with the cards, I just wanted to really focus in and know. So that's how I kind of got into it. And a friend of mine owned a store in Kitchener. It's no longer there. But one day she said, you're good enough. I did a reading for her. You're good enough. She put me on the board, and I started doing readings for other people. I haven't looked back since. So it's been about 7 or 8 years.
So you primarily focus on cards. Would you say that is accurate?
I use the cards as a tool to kind of say, okay, what does the universe or your guides want to talk about? Mm-hmm. And then I'm a channeler where I talk to my team and say, well, what does that mean for you? And go from there.
So when you say team, I've heard the term tossed around before, where everybody has guardian angels or spirits like that. How many are with you at any given time?
Well, we all have our guides and our spirit guides, but I also channel a group called the Healing Collective, which is a little bit different than everybody else. And they're a group of angels, archangels, Mother Earth energies, and other energies, like Palladians and Arcturians and so forth, that are here to help us move forward on our path. Now, the reason why I had that team is that everybody vibes in a different and needs a different language. Mm-hmm. So depending on who I was reading, I had to keep on asking, who do I need to talk to? And it got confusing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, just make a team and you guys pick, and whoever needs to come through. So I know that vibe. So they're not a guardian angel or a guardian team per se, although I think some of them work in that aspect as well for me.
How did you first discover them? Like, basically, when they first spoke to you, what was that experience like?
So it's interesting, because I had to look this up today because I figured you might ask. So I wrote it down about 2 weeks after it happened. Thank goodness I did, because I would not totally remember it. It was March of 2012, and I was driving to a friend's place, and I was driving down the 401. And at that time, I was speaking strictly to the energy that is called God, Creator, Source, whatever name you want to create. Mm-hmm. To me, it's that creator energy.
That primal power.
Primal power. And I said, because I was getting confused about who I was talking to, I just spoke to them. And I was driving down, and they're like, by the way, you need to channel this group called the Healing Collective. And I'm like going, wait a minute. I thought I'd get rid of everybody and just talk to you, because I was getting confused. And mm-hmm. they're like, nope. And I'm like, well, who are they? And they're like, you're going to find out. And I'm like, okay. So it was a couple days later, I decided I was going to get my friend on the phone, and she was going to help me. Mm-hmm. And a traditional channeler, when they channel, will let that team take over and speak through them. Now, when I do my readings, it's more of like a three-way conversation, just because it's hard to keep that connection to that depth when people want to ask specific questions about themselves. Mm-hmm. But with this initial, it was like, okay, I'm going to channel like this. And I ended up starting, and I first worked with them myself, where I connected to them, and they did a major energy change within my body. And then when I got a hold of my friend, it just seemed to be like, here's who we are, here's what we do, and we're going to help guide you. By the way, you are part of the Healing Collective. You need to understand this. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, but you need to decide if you want to be a part, because if you are, we're going to make you follow your path. One of the key tenets, I would think, of the universe is that we all have free will. Mm-hmm. We decide how we want to live our lives. you know, there's path of what would be best for us, but we still have that choice. And basically they were saying, we're going to hit you over the head till you make the right choice. And I thought, oh boy.
So let's try this. And now what we did before the show started is we actually exchanged her tarot cards. And we passed off, as she would describe, my energy onto the cards and her energy. So we can kind of get a live read now. Angela knows nothing about me. But the skeptic side of me says she could have creeped my social media. I live a very public life. That is no secret. So what happens next, guys, is up to interpretation. But as I said, I'm a believer. So let's see what happens as we, once again, delve into the world of the unknown.
I'm going to apologize. My cough is kind of
working its way up.
Yeah. So the first card I pull is the Queen of Cups. And the Queen of Cups, the queens deal with that motherly side of ourselves, and that, the home, the environment, the nest. And the cups deal with love, feelings, and emotions. The Queen of Cups is that very, very caring, very giving person, and to me, represents the empath into a great degree, which you've already mentioned. But it's interesting that it pulled it up. So the second card that I'm pulling is the Fool card. And the Fool talks about beginning of a spiritual journey on a new level, or beginning your journey and understanding where you want to go next. You're really, and I think, I'm going to say this, a lot of people are really at this beginning point in their life right now. Like between August and February, there's been a massive shift where we're all figuring out, where do I want to go now? Who is my truth and where do I want to go? So I'm just curious as to where this new beginning is about. And we get the Page of Swords. Pages deal with following your gut instinct. And swords deal with what you're passionate about. And to me, this feels a little bit about business, but it also just feels like, give me the words for Michael. You're so in tune with the energies that you're having to learn who to cut, move away from, and who to move forward with, because it's really hard on you physically as well as emotionally when people don't give you what you give everybody else. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely, yes.
So I feel like you made some changes last year, but it feels like you're in the planning stages of, okay, what am I ready to let go of next, and where do I want to move to?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit about business, and I think, again, the creeper in me that did creep said about this whole new beginning of this whole process,
yeah,
is part of that. So again, you know, the skeptics would say, she's just saying it.
Yeah.
But the key here is pages. Pages mean following your gut instinct on what's right for you and where you need to go. I find that this time, you know, when we grow up, we a lot of times fall into things, mm-hmm, and we do what is expected of us. So, you know, I'm a 44-year-old woman. I should be married. I should be this. I should be that. And I shouldn't be happy unless I have that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to learn to let go of, well, I'm not married. I don't have kids. and really learn and go, hey, wait a minute. Is that really part of who I am? Or is this just... because the fact that I am not married and don't have kids has allowed me to explore this part of myself, this intuitive, psychic person. Now, the Seven of Swords means... is swearing okay online?
Oh, yeah, totally. Trust me, if you've heard the show.
I thought so, but I just wanted to confirm. The Seven of Swords deals with, is traditionally for me called the Sneaky Bastard card. And it means about the little white lies that we tell ourselves or tell each other. And it's a lot of times about, you know, when somebody gets a haircut and you don't like it and you go, oh, you got your haircut, and you're just smiling away and nodding, mm-hmm, when you don't like it. A lot of times we do that in life, meaning when things aren't going our way, we go, well, that doesn't matter anyways. That doesn't matter anyways. And we bury it and we bury it and we bury it. And we're really having to look hard at that stuff now and say, wait a minute, that just bloody well sucks. And it sucks ass. And okay, so what are the steps I'm going to take to move forward? For you, because you are the Queen of Cups and you are that caring, you don't always tell people what you think. You can tell your good friends that you know will take it the way it's meant to take it,
mm-hmm.
but you will suppress some stuff that is like, well, is that really worth the aggravation? And they're like, it's time to not always tell everybody, but be honest with yourself of, you know what, that's just not right.
Yeah.
Does that make any sort of sense to you?
It does, actually.
And I feel like I need to pull one more card, and then we'll get to any question you have.
All right.
Sound good?
Yep.
This one, and this one. Okay.
Two pulls.
This one flipped it. Sometimes the cards are like, eh, we want to come together. So the Lovers card talks about lovers and being in a relationship, but it also means about connecting with your higher self on a high level. And you have been doing a lot of work that way. Some people would say about getting in touch with your intuition or your higher power. It's been really strong with you lately. Do you understand that? And I mean like very vivid dreams, very vivid. If it's not dreams, it's like you know what they're trying to get a hold and get you to know. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? And the Nine of Wands means about where do you want to go? Nines deal with the ending of a cycle. So one is beginning something. Nine is ending. And nine of Wands, mean about who you are and can be about creativity and a breakthrough. And it's like, okay, what do you need to do to get that breakthrough to get you where you want to go and move forward and get where you want to be? This feels like it honestly feels like you know that there's an all-encompassing change coming your way, but I think sometimes when we have those all-encompassing changes, we feel like we got to do everything at once. And it's like, no, what's the first part? What's the second part? And a lot of times those all-encompassing changes are all in our head. They're all about really being honest with ourselves. Are we dragging ourselves down too much, and are we being better? So the perfect example is you know that time when I said when I was 10 years ago where I said I was existing, not living, somebody said to me, pay attention to your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs. And I said, well, how I started paying attention to my thoughts, and I said, I was so many times, about 40, 50 times a day, I would say, I'm so stupid. And I would be like, I drop a pencil, I'm so stupid. I, you know, make a spelling mistake, I'm so stupid. And I had to start paying attention, saying, well, I dropped a pencil, I made a mistake. I can't spell worth shit, so I spelled it wrong. Good thing for spelling, you know, autocorrect and all that. So it's, I think for you, it may seem like it's the you of the now and the you of next year will feel like a totally different person, but doesn't mean that you're necessarily changing where you are and who's around you. But it means that you can be in that spot where you're feel like you're living your truth. And I feel like you're somebody who's very, obviously, I have listened to some of your podcasts, you're very out there. You are who you are there. But I think it's about being it in all aspects of your life. Okay?
All right.
Any questions about that?
I was going to say, are you getting a feel more business or creativity from me?
I honestly feel a lot of it is personal, about your how you think about yourself and the world. And I feel like that's going to not change your business to a great extent, but it's going to add to it.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Which is going to bring more people. And I feel like there could be more listeners and everything to come. Creativity-wise, that feels more personal-based, meaning like either journaling or something like that, that could be taken to some level later on, but is not, for now, it's not the express intent from a business perspective. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah.
So, guys, you just heard me have a live tarot card reading, and we definitely want to hear what you guys think about this. I mean, definitely, if you want to look up Angela on Facebook, you can definitely do that. You can do that by looking up Angela Donnelly, Psychic Channeler. She does have her own Facebook page. She's very fast at responding at messages. And she's definitely given me a lot of things to actually think about today. So if you guys want to just give me your interpretations of what like you guys think, you can do that at feedback@thisweekingeek.net or call the voicemail line 817-717-7202. Definitely want to hear from you guys. So I guess, Angela, as a final question, what is coming up for you next? I mean, like, what do you see coming up in the next year or so?
For myself, I do feel like it is about expanding out, like, from a business perspective, but about one of my key things with my own internal dialogue is about being okay being seen. So about getting out there more, doing things like this and so forth. So I do know that I'm doing, this year's been crazy with psychic fairs, so I'm continuing to do those at like Hamilton this weekend, Belleville in a couple of weeks, and then Toronto next month. But from a business perspective, I feel like I'm going to be starting to doing channelings one-on-one to help people get energetically centered and feel like that they are their truth and that they are ready to tackle and make the changes themselves. My key thing is that, and my key belief is you're in charge of your life. All I can do is give you guidance of here's the choices that I see and why things are happening. How do we get you to do what you need to do?
All right. So if people want to find you online, I understand you have a website too?
Yes. It's Angela Donnelly, AngelaDonnelly.ca.
All right, guys. Be sure to check her out. Now we're going to throw things back to me and the rest of the Twig crew right here on Twig, the new rebranded This Week Geek, because, hey, stupidity knows no bounds.
That's all the time we've got for this week on World of the Psychic. Next week, though, give me Ira. Hairless pets. Weird.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Thank you, Mike, for that interview. I learned a little bit about yourself and the world of psychic readings.
So, I guess before we get into the weird news segment, what do you guys think about psychics? Because Alex was originally supposed to be here as my engineer and as my resident skeptic for this. Because you're not necessarily... It's not your belief system of this.
Belief system? Oh, for the gypsy shysters? No, I'm kidding.
Goodness gracious.
No, you know what? I'm open to pretty much anything, but I have a high sensitivity to bullshit. So if I had been here, I would not have said anything, but I'm somebody that if I read something, I'd go, oh, that's bullshit. But I'm open to things.
So I feel like, because I've seen psychics in the past, I've had a psychic reading myself, and I took a little time to delve into what I thought of the craft, and that's what it is. It is a craft. There's a lot of body reading. There's a lot of just probing questions that actually allow you to really delve into yourself, and it's not really them being psychic, it's you making realizations. And I've long believed it to be a form of hokum, but at the same time, I understand why people can cling to it.
I see a lot of potential for these for psychics and people who do these readings. They have a natural gift. It might not be quite as supernatural as they portray it, but they have a talent at reading people's facial expressions, their body language, and being able to pick up on things and cues that you're giving off subconsciously. They can just read people much better than average. So it's a superpower in a way, but it's a little bit less fantastical than they might portray it. But it plays into this idea that we can and see into our future and see things that we wouldn't normally be able to perceive, and that gives us a lot of comfort. I am a spiritual person, not classically spiritual, but kind of New Age, but we won't go too deep into that. So I do believe in some supernatural things, but I think for the most part, most people who claim themselves to be psychic are just adept at reading humans. They're really good at picking up on those subtle cues and being able to help you come to your own, like Lee said, your own realizations based on things that you're able to feedback into them. And they kind of go full psychologist on you at the same time. So they're helpful people. They're doing a good thing. But do I think they're exercising a supernatural power? Not necessarily. Maybe not.
That's pretty much exactly where I'm on. Like, I'm not denying that there are things out there that we don't understand, or you know, people have heightened senses to things. What I'm saying is, most of the time, if somebody is in it for the money, there's a reason they're in it for the money.
Mm-hmm. And I legitimately believe that a lot of psychics out there are trying to help people.
And if that's the case, then the avenue they could go down is becoming a psychologist, going through the legal means to do so.
At the same time, they're offering a service that people wouldn't go to a psychologist for, because there's a stigma to going to a psychologist in the first place. There's a stigma to going to a psychic as well, but but there's certain people that they're not going to go to a psychologist because that means they're crazy. But they're going to go to a psychic.
But if you go to a psychic, that also makes you look crazy.
From a different point of view, from a different group of people.
Yeah.
Other people will call you crazy for going to a psychic, and on the other side of the coin, yeah, some people will call you crazy for going to a psychologist.
Ultimately, my stance is, if going to either makes you feel better and makes you come to those self-realizations and makes you a better person, I'm all for it. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter as long as you're not being strung along and being duped.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this as we begin to close out this topic. I had a really good experience with her. Would I recommend
perfect.
Angela? Absolutely.
I mean, perfect. Awesome.
There was some stuff in the tarot card readings that, unless she went deep research into me, and I'm talking stuff that was on, she'd have to be present in this room for some of the conversations I've had.
Okay.
Then I'm fairly happy with what I received. And
well, then awesome.
I know she's doing some psychic fairs. You can check out her website, which I think is angeladonnelly.ca. She mentions it in the interview, and it'll be in the show notes. So definitely take a listen to that and make up your own mind. And definitely tell us what you think. Feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Voicemail line, I'm pretty sure it's still set up. 817-717-7202. If it is not set up, email me and get me on that.
Or on Twitter, you know.
At This Week in Geek.
Hey, Alex, you're full of shit. You can say that and tell me why.
Exactly, at Turd or Treasure. So,
yeah,
be sure to get a hold of us. So, I guess let's get into the world of, well, the frankly fucked up. And what have we got this week, Tristan?
From the world of wonder and bewilderment to the world of Owen Wilson, he's well known for his iconic phrase, wow.
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 Yeah, you know, when you talk about Owen Wilson, that seems to be the one thing that definitely comes up with him. Him and
his crooked ass nose.
And his crooked ass nose. That's Owen Wilson, the wow guy.
Well, people are using Owen Wilson's wow to bring a lot of positivity to the world. And large crowds of people are coming together to mimic that. So hundreds of people are coming around to one place to just say, wow, in Owen Wilson style.
I think they're going to the CN Tower.
It started in Australia. There's a lot of compilation videos of him saying it, and people are mimicking all of those videos in these public places. It's called the Say Wow Like Owen Wilson event. It was held at Federation Square in Melbourne. And because of the positive feedback people are giving because of this event, it's expanding all around the world.
We live in interesting times, don't we, fellas?
So, London, UK, there's Facebook event groups for these. London, UK has a group. Augusta, Georgia, Lafayette, I want to say Louisiana. I'm not good with my United States short forms. And Chicago, Illinois. And on April 6th here in Ontario, shout Owen Wilson's iconic wow in front of the CN Tower is taking place at Roundhouse Park.
Is it in front of the CN Tower or at the CN Tower?
It's wow. At Roundhouse Park, but in front of the CN Tower, so I can see there being a good image of this.
This will draw at least a couple hundred people.
Oh, absolutely.
In Toronto, it's going to be like 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000. Who knows?
People not going to have the facilities
for bandwagon.
Well, it's weird because I remember seeing other events type like this. There's like ones in Florida like run like Naruto or power up like Goku in like New York City. Just scream in front of that big archway. And like 100 and something people show up just going, ah!
That's how you get on a list somewhere.
I want to say that actually happened, because I remember reading something about that.
Well, the whole point of it, Nicholas Zumbulis was the organizer of the original event. He says, in these times, I think something as silly as getting together and saying, wow, can have a positive effect, and I'd like to see everyone come together. If I can remind people that this world we are lucky to inhabit is beautiful, and to embrace that like Owen does in his movies by saying, wow, then I'll be happy. So, wow for happiness.
Wow for happiness.
That works. From wow to hamburgers.
Wow hamburgers. Steamed hams. Wow, which is burgers. The new meme of the week.
Exactly. Steamed hams. So, the Big Mac record holder is on pace to eat 30,000 Big Macs by May.
That's disgusting.
Now, it's not 30,000 all at once or right now,
this
because
like
that's
this year.
That's pure death. That's over 44 years. In Milwaukee, a man named Don, I'm trying to read his name here, Gorski, I don't know how to say his
name.
Just
call him Don Biggie Mac.
Yeah, Don Arteries, I'm going to call him from now on. He's on pace to eat 30,000 of McDonald's burgers by May. He was recognized in the Guinness Book of World Records in 2016 when he ate his 28,788th Big Mac.
That's specific.
Yes.
I'd like to know, A, how they track that.
Oh, he keeps his receipts.
Oh my God.
For 44 years.
So he just has a drawer full of Big Macs.
Does that mean like he sat back and decided one day, I'm going to start eating Big Macs and record this?
I was just thinking that.
That is his life goal, I believe, and he's accomplished it.
Well, you got to have goals.
Yeah.
So it says, basically, he typically eats about 14 Big Macs each week. You know what? For a lot of fat guys out there,
that's nothing.
That's not that crazy, except the fact that it's 95% of what he eats in the last 50 years.
And does he go to like McDonald's every day, twice a day?
No, he goes there once a week, buys them in bulk, between 14 to 20 of them or so, it says, and then he puts them in the freezer, and then he microwaves them.
That's even worse.
No, they're not even fresh.
Like, to me, I'm sorry, Don, that's very serial killery.
Like, they opened up a microwave fridge. Big Mac in my time. And those buns and the meat just doesn't reheat well.
They get all melty and gross.
Yeah.
So if he eats that, basically he's eating probably two of them a day. So that 5% of his meal that he doesn't eat is... Wait a minute.
Fries?
You telling me he only eats Big Macs. It's 95% of his food. So that means that he's eating like...
1,000...
Maybe like a protein bar or a muffin or something with breakfast, or as his breakfast.
Maybe another 5% is just vitamin supplements.
The dude's only eating like 1,500 calories a day, but it's 90%... It's 90% McDonald's, like...
And this guy is not a fat guy. Let's point this out.
He looks like your average guy who would be in a van and grab children and I don't know.
That's very average, by the way.
Those are Little Macs.
So it's 95% of his food and the rest of it is people. But I just thought for a second, 30,000 Big Macs.
That's insane and not healthy, because a Big Mac is about 550 calories, give or take.
It makes you think about all the times.
But here's the thing, if he's literally only eating two Big Macs a day, it's obvious you can survive off of that for 50 years. His sodium isn't going crazy, because one of those Big Macs is what, like 70% of your sodium you're supposed to have for a day. So he's going over, but almost everybody goes over what they're supposed to have. So if he's just having that, and he's satisfied with that, all the power to him.
Just the nutrition I'm worried
about. But also I'm thinking, he's probably saved a lot on groceries. If he's just literally eating...
Those are what, like $4?
What does he offer his guests when they come over for dinner?
He's eating basically...
He doesn't have guests.
He's eating, what, about $50 worth of Big Macs a week. So $200 he's not spending on groceries.
Now, we're going to presume he's just having the Big Mac and no fries?
No, it appears to be just the Big Mac.
That's insane. Like, and literally, this man is insane.
I'm just thinking... He must have, like, greasy mayonnaise arms.
Everything on him has to be just... He's got to be shiny.
I mean, the question is, does he smell good or bad? That's up for your opinion.
I would say he smells like a McDonald's bathroom.
Like, if he starts he starts to overheat, he just smells like a McDonald's.
Yeah, why do I all of a sudden smell fucking Mac sauce?
But it's just... Oh, and also, in the last 44 years, he's only had 8 singular days where he had no McDonald's.
I thought you were going to say he's only had 8 singular dates and they were all failures.
Oh, reading this and looking at his picture, he don't do
any date he's ever had was not...
Now, if I'm wrong, show me the woman or man that wants to be with McDonald's dude.
He probably marry with like the Hamburglar.
I'm sorry, but what?
He is the Hamburglar.
What wife, husband, life partner, whatever you want to call it, would tolerate that as your meal every single
Mrs. like Big Mac? No,
his spouse would be the person that eats the fries and drinks the drink.
There we go,
and then you have a combo.
Combo made in heaven.
I would love family to see his medical records. I'm just curious.
Yeah,
to see
I got what like 44 years of McDonald's.
Like at this point, he must just be coming Mac sauce.
Oh boy. Leave it to Alex to take us out of you one disturbing to, story into, I'm sure, something else disturbing.
You had to make it go sexual.
Did I tell you guys that in high school I tried to make a suit entirely out of McDonald's wrappers?
You told me, but you didn't tell them.
Oh,
you
know,
that actually sounds familiar.
We went on an eating competition, as in fat guys wanted to go eat a lot. So me and 11 other guys, or 11 people total, ordered 82 cheeseburgers. And they laughed at us till we dropped down a $100 bill. This is when they were doing that
dollar cheeseburger.
No, it was $1.69 or $1.69 for two singular cheeseburgers. When they used to do that deal of the week, so we ordered that. They brought it all out to us. The owner of that franchise came to us and was like, "You two are not just eating all this, right?" Because he drove in from out of town when he heard the order. Because he's like, I don't want these two fat high school kids dying on me eating all this. He goes, I am not supposed to tell you this, but eating 41 of these each is extremely unhealthy and you will die. So then he gave us a bunch of free milkshakes and stuff when he found it was like 11 people. So we ate it all and we kept the wrappers for all those cheeseburgers. And I was going to keep them for the rest of the year and we were going to sew them together, glue them together. And I was going to, the last day of high school, because it was grade 12, I was going to be a McDonald's burger suit man. And then some jerk ass janitor opened up the lockers and threw them all out.
Oh no.
And I started to cry.
We have a goal someday in the future now to make this happen.
Cuz if you know me, that's a lot of papers to make that suit.
Mhm. Oh, Lee, so tell me you've got something else.
Out there has any sewing experience and can get a pattern for cheeseburgers, it might not be the same, but we can get a suit made for you.
I wear that to Con Bravo or somewhere else.
So if anyone out there has that ability, you know, let us know and let's see this. Let's make this happen.
Well, we're gonna go from Big Macs to hot dogs now. My weird news of the week is one of another culinary style. There seems to be a gentleman who decided that it would be a really good idea to kill his boss, chop him up, and eat his penis.
And who hasn't had that?
Living the dream.
Oh, no, hold on.
Wait.
He didn't just eat his penis. He didn't just, like, toss it in the pan. He made a soup out of it. And this soup was to ward off the evil spirits. Probably naturally. That told him to
eat
cut
cock.
Up his boss and eat his cock to ward off the evil spirits. It's a vicious cycle here. The gentleman who apparently was owed by his boss $1,600, which in his area of the world is
a lot of money,
decided that it would be good for him and his son to go out.
He fed the cock soup to his son?
I don't think he fed the cop soup to his son.
cock meat sandwich.
I mean, he might feed the cock to his son. I don't know.
He doesn't seem
like a in-the-head kind of guy. But, this was one of the weirdest things that I've come across in all of my years.
All I gotta say is...
I'm excited to share with all you
guys. Can you imagine the smell? Like, we're all big dudes here. Come August, I got a cock soup going in my pants walking outside. So I can only imagine what it's like when it's... I don't know. Put a bunch of...
Swamp ass is never
seasoned,
chicken stock.
He seasoned it, though. He seasoned it.
Mine gets pretty seasoned. Too.
I guess that would be a cream-based soup.
Oh, jeez.
It doesn't really say, like, anything... I was kind of hoping for a recipe, just you know,
what country was this from?
I wanted to say Tunisia, but it's definitely not. Like, sorry, Indonesia. My apologies.
Oh,
Indonesia.
So then it's probably with an oyster sauce or something. I don't know.
Clam.
So speaking of disturbing things to eat this week, we're going to take another break here on the show, and as we Brave Satan's Pantry. I'm sure we're not eating anybody's cock this week, but
I hope not. Damn,
we're trying something else.
I'll eat it if you will.
Just the tip.
I like the skin.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig. It's inedible.
Welcome back to yet another edition of Satan's Pantry. I am one of the many unfortunate victims for this one, and this one comes to us courtesy of my wife, Blair. Today in Satan's Pantry, we don't have Alex with us, you lucky son of a bitch. We're going to be something, we're from the company Y&Y, we're trying garlic sea greens, Korean roasted seaweed snacks. These things look like freeze-dried poop.
When you look at seaweed, you kind of think like green and strands and stuff. This is black, like just pretty much black. Maybe a tinge of green, but they are
actually.
They
it
are
looks like it's come dark out of somebody.
The funny thing is that Blair is wearing a black shirt, and I'm looking at the thing she's holding in front of her, and it looks like it's just a see-through plastic case because I can just see black inside. Now I can tell because it's in front of your skin. There's something inside there, but it's pitch black. So, against her pitch black shirt.
I'll be the first unfortunate victim of this. Because I trailed. Oh, what the hell? It feels weird.
It's a cracker.
It's like paper.
Is it
it's
softer?
Yeah, it's softer than
paper. Seaweed stuff is always papery.
It doesn't smell like it.
I thought he was trying to drink it.
No.
Lifting it to his nose.
It doesn't
just
smell
pour
like
right
anything. And the weird thing is, the plastic feels harsher than these things. So I'm going to stick one of these whole crackers, which is about an inch and a half wide by an inch and a half long.
Okay, when you hold up one by itself, you can tell it's green.
Green, yeah. It looks
kind of
like
a green-brown to it. Like
it looks like chlorophyll.
Oh, wow, jeez.
They're light. Okay, bottoms up, guys. I'm going first.
It's like the filter you put over lights, like cellophane.
It doesn't. It's weird. It's not bad, actually. It's
ever,
really garlicky.
So faint of a smell.
Yeah, it's the texture more than anything that's off-putting. Okay, oh, wait, never mind. Now it's like eating up the lawn. Oh, okay, oh.
Yeah, that's grassy.
Oh. Do not want. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck you, lady. Oh,
wash
shit
it down with another one.
Oh, my. I'm going to wash it down with last week's kefir.
All so right, I haven't eaten mine yet. Okay, my impressions. It feels like styrofoamy, but very, very thin. It looks like, you know when a Borg ship gets hit by a shield, and that's the shield effect? That's what it looks like to me. It's like if it got hit. It looks like exactly what Tristan said. It looks like those light filters. It was like it's like a green, translucent thing,
my cat so is trying to eat this.
Cat right wants
and
one.
And it has garlic, so he can't.
Here's my taste.
All right, Lee, what do you think?
It smells like burnt. Like burnt. It smells like burnt. If burnt was the smell, this would be it.
Blair, just eat it all. Just shove it in your mouth.
Yeah, it's like
it
kind of lightly roasted some grass.
I'm just licking it.
Okay, it looks like you're giving it head. Just eat the goddamn thing.
Just licking it.
Just
the cat. The cat is still trying to take mine.
Wiley, no.
It's not bad. If this was an actual like Lay's potato chip, the flavor wouldn't be bad.
It's the aftertaste that I didn't like.
It's the aftertaste.
Ugh.
Here, have the rest.
No, fuck you, lady.
Yeah.
Ugh, do not want.
I didn't actually think it was that bad.
Okay, I like sheets of nori from sushi, but it being dried is something about it.
Yeah.
The initial taste wasn't that bad, but it's the aftertaste.
It's not as salty as I was expecting, which is nice, because if that was salty, it would have just been awful. Or
I can't even taste it.
It's a very subtle flavor. It just tastes like I'm just kind of chewing on some parchment paper. And grass. Like, you just took a piece of, I don't know, of the, like, tissue paper, and you rubbed it on the lawn, put some garlic powder on there, and there you go. Roasted
by the way,
it gently.
I just dipped it in some of the kefir. I'm not trying that, though.
Lee knows better. So, yeah, thank you, Blair, for...
That's...
Oh.
Another weird thing.
I'm going to take a pass on that one.
Oh, boy!
Oh, boy, that was disgusting. Holy shit. Anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of Satan's Pantry. We'll be back next week with, I'm sure, something vile. I hope you guys are enjoying these. If you do, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. We definitely want to hear from you.
Emphasis on the feed.
Feed. Ugh. All right, guys, we'll be back.
Hold on.
Oh, wait.
Tell us what you think we should eat.
Yeah! If you guys got suggestions, hit us up on Twitter, at ThisWeekInGeek, feedback at ThisWeekInGeek.net for email, or find us on social media. Christopher has it all linked out at the end of the show, so be listening for our social media links, and we'll do it, man. If we can find it, we'll eat it. Up to and including haggis. We'll be back right on ThisWeekInGeek.net, right here on Twig.
What is that?
I'm good enough!
Get out!
You're not good enough! Piss off!
Well, that was something. That was a salty something.
That was like eating out a mermaid. It was disgusting.
It didn't.
It didn't have a fish taste, but it was. Ugh. I'm still tasting.
The right texture now, was awful. I like those things.
You're fucked.
Now they were those papery seaweed.
Yeah,
things.
They're basically seaweed paper.
Oh, I love that shit. Yeah.
Ugh. And you didn't miss that.
Tastes better than getting pubes stuck in your teeth.
I mean, if you shred it. Just fine enough you could get this stuck in your teeth and it would...
Are we still talking about pubes?
Probably. Talking about seaweed kind of shaped into pubes now.
Dicks!
Talking about dicks?
We're talking about dicks again.
Oh, boy.
No matter what we say, it always ends up back at dicks.
And that's how you know it's the end of a Twig show when the frat humor comes out. So anyway, guys, we got an exciting week coming up. You'll hear me and Steve Megatron Phillips talk about Star Trek ship designs on Future Imperfect this week. We'll also have next week on the show, actually, we have an interview with musician Stan Bush, who you may remember as the Transformers artist who did The Touch and did the music for my wedding. Which was kind of cool. And I'm sure we have more editions of Satan's Pantry. We have more stupidity from the world of entertainment. Hopefully no one will have a massive heart attack this week. No. And also, we should be bringing back the Cambridge Chronicles. We're going to be recording new episodes, so that'll be out on Discord in probably about 2 weeks' time. So watch the Terrible Warriors Twitter, which is at Dice Warriors, and we'll advertise when we're going live. And hope you're still checking out the Living Campaign for Star Trek and the USS Horizon. Other than that, though, guys, I think we had a pretty good show, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It was very odd. A lot of disgusting things.
Yeah. A lot of dicks.
We should try dick pills one time, see what happens.
On that note, I've been Mike the Birdman Daw, joined with...
Mr. Christopher. Find me on Twitter, at Mr. Christopher.
Alex.
Oh, dicks.
I'm Mike the Birdman Daughter. Jesus Christ.
I don't want to try your dick pills. We should have our own dick pills.
No! There will be no dick pills.
Like, I mean, if I don't need a dick pill to get a hard-on, wouldn't it be like a super hard-on?
Good night, everybody.
Okay, so now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the fuck.
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at ThisWeekInGeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.